B-Pod Studios.
All right, Felger Mads, 4:04 in the evening here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's your FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us whenever you want on the app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Also online, 98.5thesportshub.com. But that app, great product. Just download it to your phone. The stream comes right up. You also catch us on the replays that night or the next morning, so you're always whole. You never miss anything on Felger and Mads with the app. Bruins Minute for you here. Marcus Johansson joins the team today. And first, well, we'll start with the lineup. Starting with the lineup, where is he going to play? He's going to play on the right side of David Krejci. He's not going to be given to Charlie Coyle on the third line. Nope, he's going to be on the right side with David Krejci. He's not going to play on the left side. He's a left shot. Marcus Johansson's a left shot. But he can play the off wing, and so he's going to start on the off wing, which I like. I don't want to move DeBrusk. DeBrusk has just gotten hot. And DeBrusk has found himself, and so I don't want to put two guys in a different spot or give Krejci two different things to look at, which is kind of what he would be doing if he had Johansson on his left all of a sudden, then DeBrusk on his right. So it's still Krejci, DeBrusk on his left, and Johansson's going to have to prove himself on the right side on his off wing. Good. Do it. And remains Marchand, Bergeron, Heinen. That third line, Charlie Coyle, David Backes, Marcus Nordstrom, and then that great fourth line remains Kiraly Achari, Wagner. Let me just tell you this. You may have hated the Bruins trade deadline. You may have thought they should have been more aggressive. They're better than they were 5 days ago. They were. That's a better lineup. That's a more representative lineup.
And they're still missing Pastrnak.
We still don't even have Pastrnak back in there. But even without Pastrnak, you've replaced, what, Trent Frederick or
Carson Coleman?
Or Solera.
Okay, so I was just going with third line center. You've replaced Trent Frederick or whatever Providence fodder in the third line with Charlie Coyle, who ain't Wayne Gretzky. But he's an NHL player. He's a legit NHL third-line talent, okay? Take that for what it's worth. I'm not telling you he's all of a sudden the missing ingredient, although he might be. I'm just telling you that's a real third-line center. And Marcus Johansson next to David Krejci? That ain't Steven Stamkos, but it's better than Carson Kuhlman or Peter Solarik or what? What did they have in there? You're better. That's a better lineup.
Sure it is. No question. They've added, you know, legit players instead of borderline NHL types. So, you know, to me, I put those, like, they're B players.
So they were doing just fine without those guys. Make no mistake. I mean, they're unbeaten regulation streak is at what? I don't know. A lot. They haven't lost in regulation in a while. So they've still been getting their points without Pastrnak, and they've been getting their points with the Kuhlmans of the world and all of that. But, so these guys have to play as hard. They have to buy in like those young players were buying in, but they have more talent. That's a better lineup. It's a better lineup, and I like where Johansson's at. I like him there next to Krejci on the off wing. And I just, when Pastrnak comes back, I would not be adverse to trying Johansson. I keep switching between Johansson and Johansson. I don't care. I wouldn't mind seeing Johansson up there with Bergeron and Marchand. And because I want Pastrnak with Krejci. I still do. I want them to break up Pastrnak from that Marchand-Bergeron line because I just think that balances you out better. So, okay, that's where they are tonight. In terms of Johansson and Brad Marchand, this I thought was a dynamic because, well, Marchand knocked him out last year, basically ruined his season, and you can make the case that Johansson is not completely recovered. Marchand gave him a flying elbow last year that knocked him out 2 months. And then he suffered other concussion problems, and he only played 29 games last year, and now he's had a down year this year. And Johansson has not fully recovered from what Brad Marchand did to him last year. Marchand earned a 5-game suspension at the time. It's his 9th league discipline at the time. And at the time, when Marcus Johansson finally came back 2 months later and came out of the dark room and was finally able to put on skates and be in a bright room and, you know, was back among the living, this is what he said about Brad Marchand. It was stupid. There's nothing else to say about it. There was no point in doing that. There was no hockey play there whatsoever. I think it's sad to see that there's guys out there that are trying to hurt other guys. I think there's nothing else to say about it. It's sad. It's stupid. I hope it doesn't come to him ending someone else's career before it's enough. That's not why we play the game. I think there's always situations where you try and hit someone and you try and make a hockey play, and those things can go wrong. That's not what happened. Then there's plays like this. That has nothing to do with hockey. So it's sad to see, and I guess I'm unfortunate to be on the receiving end of that. Johansson was asked at the time, was 5 games enough? No, not really. considering it was the ninth time he got suspended or fined. I think it's, as I said, you hope it doesn't come to him ending someone's career before it's enough. That's all I can say. So when I asked around the hockey guys last night on TV and here, Ty Anderson and Joe Hags and whatnot, and all these other hockey guys, is there going to be an issue there? Is that something they got to sort of navigate, Marchand and Johansson? They said, it's hockey, Felger. And these guys are all the time. They're notorious for fighting each other in the game and then going out for beers afterwards. That they'll just, hockey, that's hockey. They said, okay, you know, I understand the enforcer thing. I mean, that used to happen all the time. Sean Thornton was buddies with half the enforcers in the league. George Parros, they'd come over the boards, beat each other to a pulp, and then go slug beers after the game together. Like, so that happened with enforcers. When one guy asks, the other guy accepts, and they square up like men. And the whole thing about, though, what Marchand did, that's Matt Cookian. So do you think if Matt Cook was traded to the Bruins and he went to Mark Savard, whose career Matt Cook ended, Mark Savard would be like, what are you going to do? Yeah, it happens. That's hockey. Let's go have a brewski.
No.
A little different, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, our Ulf Samuelson with Cam.
Exactly. Thank you. Better one.
Think of that one.
Same point. If Ulfie had come here, you think that players would be like, that happens in hockey?
No, because there's a difference between a borderline cheap hit and outright viciousness, so which this was.
Let's ending someone's career, someone's career, affecting someone's earning power, affecting their livelihood. I mean, that's the kind of hit that Marchand put on Johansson. That wasn't a fight. That wasn't Sean Thornton and George Parros. Okay? That's different. So I was wondering, what was Johansson going to do today? And I thought he was excellent. We'll play some of the sound in a minute. But Johansson said, that's water under the bridge. Water under the bridge. In fact, Johansson said that Marchand called him shortly after the trade.
See, I knew this would happen. I told you this yesterday. If the Bruins are smart, they'll have Marchand go right up to him.
Good for Marchand. He didn't even wait for him to get here. He called him. Sweeney called him to congratulate him on the trade and welcome him to Boston. And then shortly thereafter, Marchmont called him. And Johansson.
He had to, Mike.
I agree.
He had to. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah, Johansson said he apologized and it was great. I just said that stuff happens a lot. It's just fun to be here and it's fun to be his teammate. He's one of the best players in the league, so it's fun to be on this side of it now. And that's what he said to Sweeney. Well, at least.
You want the clip? I got it right here.
It's better. I was going to play it as the rejoin coming back next. So it's better to be with him than against him. It's certainly a lot safer. You're not going to get concussed by a flying elbow by Marchand, at least if you're his teammate, I don't think.
I mean, to me, they had to do something like this. This guy missed all that time. It was a dirty hit. Marchand got suspended on top of it. Then you trade for him a year later and he's going to walk into the room like nothing happened? No chance.
No, you got to get ahead of it. You can't wait till he shows up and it's just, oh, hey. Yeah, you know, like, it would be too awkward. So, you know, good for them. And specifically Marchand. It shows some serious maturity and professionalism on behalf of him to make that call.
I'd say good for all of them. Okay, good for Marchand making the call. Had to do it. But I think really better. I think Johansson had further to go because Johansson is not fully recovered. And he's going to be a free agent next year. And that concussion is going to cost him money because he hasn't put up the points he has before the concussion. And it cost him money. And could you blame him if he held a resentment, harbored a resentment for the guy that's going to cost him some of his livelihood? But nope, Johansson said today, most teams, you have guys you've bumped heads with a little bit. For me, it's something I put behind me. I'm happy that I'm just playing hockey right now. I just heard great things about Marshy, that he's a great guy and a great teammate, and he's a hell of a hockey player. He's even calling him Marshy.
So, look, I wonder, like, on some level, he has to still be pissed off about it.
Wouldn't you?
It's just so buried down. You know, it happened so long ago now, and I say so long ago, but, you know, a year, that it's been pushed down, and he's effectively gotten over it, and now it probably brings some of it back to the surface. And you know what the story will be? Yeah, that rat Marchand. 5 years, 10 years from now, yeah, that rat Marchand gave me a concussion, knocked me out for half a season. I played with him a year later. He's not that bad a guy. I actually sort of liked him. But I'll never forgive him for that. It was still a dirty hit. That's what it'll be. I mean, you don't take that kind of shot and miss that kind of time and just say, that's it. It never happened. Nobody's like that.
Okay. So there's your Bruins Minute. You want to weigh in on that? Add that to the Celtic stuff and the Kraft stuff. By all means, we'll hear from you next.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
That's water under the bridge. I think it's hockey. It's a tough game. And he called me yesterday, and we spoke for a bit, and he he apologized, which I think was great. And you know, and I just said that stuff happens a lot, and it's just fun to be here, and it's fun to be his teammate, and I think he's one of the best players in the league. So it's just I'm fun to be on this side right now.
There's Marcus Johansson. I give him credit. I think Marchand probably cost him money. Concussion happened last year. He only played 29 games. Took him a while to recover. Wasn't right for much of this year. Going to be a free agent after this year. And when Johansson shows up today, he calls him Marshy. He even calls him Marshy. Well, for me, it's something I put behind me. I'm happy that I'm just playing hockey right now. I just heard great things about Marshy. That he's a great guy and a great teammate. He's a hell of a hockey player. Does that mean Marchand owes him anything? A dinner, perhaps? We'll figure it out, Johansson said, chuckling.
No big deal, right?
Me and Marshy. I mean, again, you think Matt Cook? If Matt Cook came here, Savard's going to be me and Cookie. You're going to go get a dinner?
No shot.
I mean, so it's kind of along those lines. I mean, Johansson's come back. Savard never did. But that's not that big of a leap, that comparison. I'm sorry, it's not. Marchand's been suspended or fined 9 times. He's hurt guys. So credit to Johansson for putting it behind him.
Absolutely, or at least publicly. Again, sure. I told you, I'm not convinced it's all gone in his mind, but do I think he's coming here to play hockey? And from that standpoint, you know, as far as the Bruins are concerned, he's moved on? Yes, I do believe that.
Meanwhile, really interesting week for the Bruins. Just in time these guys get here. Too bad Stumbly can't make it back for it, but just in time, here comes San Jose, who I think is just exceptional. I love that team. I love their decor. It's just that decor is orgasmic. With Burns and Carlson on the same blue line. It's ridiculous. They have the third most points in the league, and then Thursday's Tampa, the most points in the league. So here you go. It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Tampa, San Jose in the finals. And those are the teams you get this week. So you'll see right away.
And I'll tell you what, if you want to boil it down to just tonight, Bruins, San Jose, Celtics, Raptors.
It's a good night. And especially San Jose. How do you think they feel after the way it went there in San Jose
Absolutely.
Last week? I mean, that game. What an epic that thing was, and what an epic screw job for the Sharks with that tying goal, that Wagner goal. Remember that?
Totally.
So it should be an interesting week for both.
So that was the night McAvoy scored to win that one in overtime, right?
I think you're right.
Yep.
Yes. So Bruins, Sharks tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Celtics, Raptors tonight on our sister station, WOR 105.7. Back to your phones on the Celtics. Paul in Brookfield. Go ahead, Paul.
How you doing? I got a couple of points.
Quick.
Number one, instead of giving away the farm to get Anthony Davis, I think they should be looking at somebody like Andre Drummond, who's from Detroit, who's a rebounding machine. As far as the way the Celtics are playing now, they're playing hero ball. Everybody can see it.
Well, that's those are 2 points. Second point is so true. They're not playing together. They're not. It just doesn't. There's a malaise or something wrong with the team. On the defensive end has been hideous. Their rebounding the other night was a joke. That just speaks to overall team effort and hero ball offensively. That's true. How many calls do we get? We say, well, forget Anthony Davis. Just go get Drummond. Forget Anthony Davis. Go get Okafor. Forget Anthony Davis. Go get this center. Go get that. They're not in the market for a center. Don't you get it? They don't want an Andre Drummond who just runs the floor and rebounds. He can't shoot threes.
They have an antiquated big in Aaron Baines.
It doesn't fit. That's not what they want everyone to be able to shoot. So I've been talking about this. I would love to see them. I love the Drummonds and the DeAndre Jordans of the world. They don't want it. They don't want a guy that you don't have to defend on the offensive end. Not in their system. So they're not going after a center, quote unquote. They're going after Anthony Davis. There's a
Correct.
Difference.
An athletic big man who can shoot threes and run the floor.
There's a difference. Mike and Woburn, what'd you make of the trade deadline for the Bees?
Underwhelming, especially considering what Simmons went for in Nashville. I felt like that you could have had that. That would have fit the need on the right wing as opposed to getting a left wing that is now playing the off wing who isn't really a scorer, is more that sort of defensive forward who can score, like I want to say a rich man's like Dan Pae, you know?
Yep.
And that's not to disparage Johansson. I like the player. I like the player a lot. I just felt like you could have filled a need better, especially with it looked like the prices were depressed yesterday.
And speaking
of prices, why are the Bruins paying extra for someone else to eat cash?
Oh, we hated that. That's the part I hate about it the most, Mike.
Okay.
So the answer, so just, you know, and you tell me, you know the cap. You can carry over cap room from 1 year to the other. So whatever cap room they save this year, they get next year when they will have a crunch to sign all those guys, right?
No. You cannot carry over cap room.
Oh.
You can't. What I've heard people say is they're trying to save for the bonus overage.
Right.
And in years past, that's been an issue. Like in 09, when Shirelli made all those deals and we were waiting for another shoe to drop, but when he did the Seidenberg trade, remember, and Savard gave him that list of forwards that he wanted, we were like, oh, they're clearing cap room. It was because he miscalculated all the bonuses and still had a set $1.7 million penalty,
okay,
despite moving the salaries off.
All right.
So here's the thing. It's only $460,000.
I know.
Why are you sacrificing a pick? And I hear people say, oh, it's just a pick. In late rounds, you get a Jamie Benn. In late rounds, you can get a guy that produces. You know? I mean, for me, it seems like you have eight defensemen. If you're really concerned about this thing, go deal Kampfer for a seventh to someone else so you clear salary there.
I'm with you. I'm just going to stop you. I didn't like them swallowing money either. You have the money. It's not should not be the issue.
No, look, I didn't love it either. I mean, again, Ty Anderson explained it to me as I walked out the door yesterday. I heard that and I said, okay, well, if you're telling me that's the case, they run the risk of having to pay out bonus money to guys this year that will cut into their cap next year. And if that happens, then it could, in theory, affect their ability to re-sign some of these younger guys. Now, I don't know, 400 grand doesn't sound like a lot of money, but that's how Ty explained it to me.
Michael on the road with the Celtics. Hi, Michael.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I'm looking at the real problem for the Celtics long term is, and this is Kyrie's problem, I think, a lot this year. He's realizing that the team he's envisioned putting together, they're prohibited from doing that because of Hayward's contract. I think Hayward really is the problem. He's the worst contract in basketball. If they want to make this thing work, the only solution would be to give New Orleans what they want with Tatum in the picks, but make them take Hayward's contract too. If they can get that
done, then
they can save it.
You're wrong. The contract's not preventing anything. They could trade for if it wasn't for that Furkacte Rose, Derrick Rose exception or whatever that thing is, they could have done the Davis deal right now. So they don't, and they'll do it right on July 1 if New Orleans will take their offer. The Hayward contract isn't preventing anything, but the Hayward play, it has changed everything. I think that's
major factor.
That's what it is. When Kyrie came here, he thought it was the big three of him. Him, Hayward, and Davis, or
Horford.
Him, Hayward, and Horford. Him, Hayward, and Tatum, or what? You know, and remember, and Gas was pointing this out many times. When Kyrie got here day one, it was a joint press conference. It was him and Gordon Hayward together. Remember?
Oh yeah,
I do. Hayward was wearing some sort of hideous green jacket. Suck up to you people. see, it was like no, that was the big two, man. That was the dynamic duo. So he thought he was coming in here playing with another all-star. Not some shadow of himself.
No, the guy's been a shell, complete shell.
That's been the Hayward issue.
So, which is why, like, if you say, could it change in the final, you know, whatever, 2 months of the season? Well, if Hayward plays like he did in the Philly-Detroit games.
How'd he look the other night in Chicago?
Not good. To me, tonight's a night where you could find out a lot about the Celtics ceiling. Because if they were to go in there and win, after the history they've had in Toronto, the way this thing has gone lately, if they were to go in, play well, and win, like, you could see their ceiling tonight, potentially. I think it's a huge night for them.
Okay. As I've said before, they have the talent to flip the switch. It can happen. LeBron did it all those years. Kyrie saw it. It easily could happen because they have that kind of talent. It's not going to come out of nowhere, though. They have to have a couple of results here down the stretch that show them and everybody what they are and can be. If they lose all these big games, then I'm sorry, they're not going to be able to flip the switch.
No, and again, the fact that it's on the road makes it bigger.
But if you do it tonight, it's like, see, here it is.
Yes, and remember, the last time they played Toronto, I think you expressed something similar about the importance of the game, but it was in Boston. Like, that one you can't lose. This one, if you win it, it's a huge gain. You go in there and you have it. Murray, how many in a row have they lost up there? 11?
14, I thought. Yeah.
Holy crap! Like, what are we doing? You know, this is a huge opportunity for them. I told you, this to me feels like it's going one way or the other. Either they win or they get smoked. I could see them getting smoked tonight, too.
I gave you this bet last week. I don't know if any of you took advantage, but I told you Celtics in Milwaukee with the 5.5. They covered. It's the line tonight.
I think the Raptors are favored by 4, I believe, last I heard.
The newspaper has it as... Stand by. Where is this game? Oh, wrong day.
Sorry, hold on. Toronto's better than Milwaukee.
Papa has to get the paper, right? Hold on.
Whole different bench since the last time that these two played for Toronto.
I like the points if it's if I'm getting a bunch of points here. Four. You're only getting four in Toronto, but you got 5.5 in Milwaukee? I don't love that.
I told you.
Toronto's a tougher out. If it was 5.5 or more, I would like the Celtics. Four?
I told you this game I would not surprise me if they get spanked tonight. Now, I haven't told you what I think will happen. I just told you one of two things. Either they win or they get smoked.
Mark and Medford, go ahead on the NHL.
Mike, I'll make a bet with you right now. You just said it's probably going to be San Jose and Tampa Bay in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I just like those teams.
I'll bet you anything right now that neither one of those teams are in the finals. San Jose finishes at the top of the heap every year. Yeah. Tampa Bay finishes at the top of the heap every year. And it's always two different teams in the Stanley Cup Finals. They're chokers. They're chokers. They'll never make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
All right. Well, it's not going to happen because I said it will. Let's be really honest. Because I said those are Stanley Cup teams. They're both going to lose in the first round.
I agree.
The way it's going for me. So that's really why they're not going to make it. Tampa's won a cup. They went to the conference finals last year. San Jose made the cup finals a couple of years ago. I don't know if that means they've gotten over the hump or anything, but those are really good teams. Biggest returning, the biggest factor for the Bruins, I know you wanted to point, Maz, is not even Johansson or Coyle. It's Pastrnak. And after hearing Sweeney yesterday, another 2 weeks in a cast, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, so I wonder too, and I was reading DuPont this morning, and the one of the lines that in his column was, no matter what Sweeney did or didn't do, Pastrnak remains the key. So I started to wonder, how did that affect Sweeney at the deadline? Like, you can say, no, it didn't affect me if you're Sweeney. But if you're Sweeney and you're going to go out there and make a major deal and give up significant assets, how can you do that when Pastrnak is out and you don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back? Like, the idea that it didn't affect Sweeney at this deadline, I don't find that believable. Really, you're Sweeney. You're sitting there going, well, I've got this window, as Charlie Jacobs said out at the Winter Classic, with Bergeron, Krejci, and Chara. We need a player. We just traded Donato. Now, we're going to make a big move. Oh, there goes Pastrnak. He goes down. Now what? Are you going to make a big move not knowing what Pastrnak is? If Pastrnak's not the same, they're screwed.
No question. Pastrnak seems confident, though. Here was Sweeney yesterday on that.
He's going to be working with a splint and or a brace, so it'll be a level, but he's a tough kid that wants to play hockey, and you already saw him skating today, and first thing he said to me is, I'll be back sooner than what anybody expects, and I think it'll be perfectly fine.
I'll be back sooner than anyone expects?
And it'll be perfectly fine, you believe that?
Nope. I mean, not automatically. He might be, but I'm not going to sit here and say that that's 100% lock it in. Hell no.
I mean, I don't know how you can say that. So, and Sweeney's, of course, going to come out and say it that way. Otherwise, it sounds like he's throwing Pastrnak under the bus. We'll see what he looks like when he gets back.
He better come back and be good. He better. I don't care what Ty Anderson or the excuse makers say. You can't do that. You can't get hurt in that fashion. That's just unacceptable. I'm sorry. He better come back and play well.
I mean, you just can't tell me it didn't factor in at the deadline. How can you go out and invest in the team at a high level when your best player is sort of on the bubble? I don't think he can do it that way.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So just resetting our updated thoughts on Kraft, really a continuation of yesterday, really, but just how more, when you read little snippets of what could happen legally, just his approach and what's going to happen here. What are we going to do? Lawyer up, deny, accuse, try and find a technicality, try and find something in the police work that gets him off. And gets him out of the charges? Is that what he's going to do? Or just admit to it, take responsibility, and still get out of the charges? That's what was driven home to me reading Michael McCann in Sports Illustrated, the legal analyst. It's this diversion program, which means diversion from the conviction. And you get there by admitting wrongdoing. He writes that as a first-time nonviolent offender, the judge may determine that Kraft is eligible for this diversion program. And if he is deemed eligible, and he elects to participate in the program, he must accept responsibility for his acts. He would also need to make restitution, such as through community service or paying a fine. Upon completion of the program, the charges against Kraft would be dismissed. Again, a pretrial diversion program would allow Kraft to remove his case from the criminal process, also avoid the possibility of a conviction, and resolve the matter by, again, paying a fine and perhaps performing community service or attending a class or two on the dangers of human trafficking. However, to do that, he would need to acknowledge that he solicited another person for sex. In other words, he would just simply have to admit he was wrong. Does he have it in him? And we wonder about that because he's already lawyered up. He's already hired a high-priced guy down in Palm Beach. His spokesman to this point has said nothing other than that they categorically deny that he's done anything illegal. So is he going to gear up and go to the mattress on a legal fight?
I hope not.
When if he admits to it, it's going to be dismissed? So wait a minute. He's going to lawyer up and go through the whole discovery process and the whole thing and fight it. Deny, deny, accuse. Here we go. Deflategate part two. OrchidsOfAsiaIncontext.com. Right? He's going to do that to get it dismissed. When he can also get it dismissed by accepting the charges, going to class, and paying a fine? Schmuck. Why wouldn't you just go to class, pay the fine, and admit to the charges?
Yeah, to me, you know what? The more I think about it, I think it almost in some ways becomes worse if he does the other thing and gets the same result. And let me explain.
Oh, it looks so cheesy if he gets off because of a camera placement or some sort of technicality in
correct,
the police work.
Correct. And then I think all it does is enrage people who feel like...
He gets off because he's got the money to hire a lawyer.
Right,
like
exactly. That the rich and famous have a different set of rules than everybody else, which we all know they do. So there are people that will always take some level of gratification and satisfaction in a story like this for that reason. And so if Kraft, you know, can manipulate the system and get around it, I think the more that I think of it, I think that's worse. I think it's worse for him. I think people will get agitated. They'll get pissed off.
Where are you talking in terms of a national standpoint? Maybe. Locally, you're definitely going to, if that happened, you would definitely get a certain segment of this fan base for this team that would love it because it proves you had beat the Pats on or off the field.
Well, so that's true.
And that's no joke either. You know that.
No, so that's true. But I also think that, see,
and that's
me,
why I wonder, is part of fighting it to appease those people? And if that's the case, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, it's this whole culture around here with the team that's, you know, that's just taking root. It's freaking lame, man. It's a turnoff. But I would hate to think that, you know, they hate us because they hate us. Like, if that thing extends to this, to Robert Kraft, like, then we got a real problem.
Oh, of course.
And hopefully it doesn't. I just think they don't accept defeat easily down there in any context. That's just my experience with them. You know, they don't admit that they make mistakes. They don't admit that they're wrong. There's not a lot of humility. And I can understand why it's happened. They've had so much success and done so many things right that it's just sort of taken root. And there's a thing there that, well, again, admitting a failing or admitting a mistake or saying that they were wrong, that takes a freaking crowbar. So that's in the football context. And this is that going to carry over to this context too?
I don't know.
Don't tell me so. And this... Goldberger, I forget his first name, I'm sorry. The attorney that he hired down there, we spent some time on this yesterday.
Jack Goldberger.
Jack Goldberger, who was one of the lead attorneys for Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not going to go back into the Jeffrey Epstein story. We did it at 2 o'clock. It's on the 985thesportshub.com or the app. You can hear the replay where we gave you the whole backstory with Jeffrey Epstein and what he did and who he is. You can just go Google it if you want or listen to the replay on the app. Jeffrey Epstein, you want to talk about a human trafficker? You want to talk about a molester of children and a real, real bad player, a real bad guy. This Goldberger and a hugely powerful and rich guy.
I mean, this guy was a predator.
With ties, big ties, to Clinton, Trump, Dershowitz, a lot of big guys. And that's all entwined. There's so many tentacles. Of that Epstein story and how it was buried and how he got a light sentence and the plea bargain and the federal prosecutor who gave him the plea bargain in Miami, who Trump then made his Secretary of Labor. There's just so many tentacles in that story. It's ridiculous. But the Goldberger was one of the lead attorneys for this Jeffrey Epstein. That's who Kraft is hired for the misdemeanor. So that's sort of scary. It's, again... Everyone is entitled to good representation and have the best representation they can find. And the Goldberger lawyer, his office is right there in Palm Beach. He obviously knows all the players in that courthouse and in that police department. And so if Robert is just looking to get the video suppressed, which he should be trying to, or just trying to have the right guy, that's fine. Okay, get Goldberger. Fine. That just might be the right guy. He's a criminal defense attorney who I gather does a lot of cases with sex crimes and things of this nature. So he's just a good guy to get. Robert's entitled to that. Fine. And Robert certainly has nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein. You know, unrelated situation. Except the bad news would be if he got Goldberger because it's a bigger story, which no one thinks is the case. And the Palm Beach attorney said yesterday that no one's been implicated here in human trafficking. And it's, you know, really on the face of it, these are just going to be treated as soliciting for prostitution. But if it is something more, well, this would also be the kind of guy that you get.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the bad news. I don't think that's the case. No one's indicated that's the case. But that would be the bad news with this guy. But, boy, you're kind of laying down with fleas here with when you start getting into this world.
I mean, that's the thing that struck me is it's a bad look. It's just a bad look. Because people will draw the lines, and all of a sudden you start reading into things, and you go, oh, boy. Like, well, what, you know, where could this potentially go? And look, if you're asking me, I don't think it's going in that direction. But this is also what I was saying to you, Murray, about, you know, just take the bullet. Because the segment of Patriots fans that you're talking about, too, that's our world. Okay, that's the type of fan. This story is now crossed out of our world.
Oh, sure.
This has invited a whole new, you know, I don't want to say fan. Fan's the wrong word. A whole new person that's just more of a casual outsider to scrutinize this whole thing because it's a legal thing now.
Much different set of eyes on this.
Oh, totally. Totally. And which is why I think the best thing to do, take the medicine.
The charges against Kraft will be dismissed if he accepts responsibility for his acts. All he has to do, admit you were wrong, made a mistake, accept responsibility. Is he willing to do it?
And then it's over.
And does he have it in him? Legally, it's over. The other thing is there whether he's...
Right. I mean, there's public embarrassment no matter what.
Okay, that horse has left the barn. So those are our Kraft Thoughts Reset. Yours on everything that we've hit on today right after this long commercial segment's next.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5. Sports Hub.
It's hard to say that any one person is being targeted when there have been 25 arrests. These are people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic statuses. So it is crazy to think that we're targeting one person when Mr. Kraft got caught up in the midst of a larger sting that netted hundreds of people through many different counties.
Steven Ehrenberg, the league prosecutor there down in Palm Beach County. Press conference yesterday. He has an interesting background. Maz mentioned it to me before. It's in the Globe as well. Or just an interesting side story to him. He, at one point, married a Miami Dolphins cheerleader.
Correct. I think she was a model, too, yeah.
And a PR gal. And they split 2 years later over political differences.
Correct. She's Republican, a Trump supporter. He's a Democrat.
And they couldn't take each other.
How do you get married in the first place?
It's just that's what politics have become in this country.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Everyone turns into the biggest baby when it comes to that. You can't even...
What's his name again?
David Ehrenberg?
Ehrenberg, right.
What?
I want to see if she was worth staying with.
No, I mean, she's a cheerleader, Murray. What do you think?
Yeah, she's a former Dolphins cheerleader. Yeah. So, right? Yeah. If you support Attila the Hun if you're a cheerleader. Right? Well, we can look past our can't we bridge the gap between our differences?
I mean, really, like, I'm wondering, how'd you get married in the first place? She's a Trump supporter, he's a Democrat, and you realize after the fact that was an issue? Like, you know, or if you're so impassioned about it that you had to split up, I would have hoped you knew in the first place. Now, that aside, like, the comment he made there, this isn't about one person, okay, technically is true. But we also all know the reason that
he's out in front of the podium being camered.
Absolutely.
Being filmed, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And look, they accomplished what they wanted to accomplish, too. I'm not, you know, politically, it's a smart move. A, you know, they're calling attention to themselves. But beyond that, how many people are now talking about human trafficking that weren't talking about it 5 days ago?
Or even that. So, I mean, that's on, but I still don't think people care. But I think that the dudes that go to those parlors are saying, oh, they're actually filming that stuff? You're going to get busted doing that?
Yes, absolutely.
And you're going to think twice the next time you go? And You know, it's not going to...
Well, they called awareness to it.
It's the oldest profession known to mankind, so it's not going to eradicate prostitution, but for at least the time being, it's going to stop guys from going into those parlors, I think.
Yes, and but the reason they don't want them going into the parlors is because they say, do you understand how these women got there in the first place?
Of course, of course.
In
of
a
course.
Lot of these cases.
Of course.
So I'm just saying to you that they're, you know, the idea that they wanted Kraft out there, that it was just an innocent thing, come on. We all know the reason they wanted Kraft in this case. And he made himself vulnerable to it.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Pep in New Hampshire has been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Pep. What do you got?
Hey, do you think anyone in the organization is actually, like, happy because they have, like, the anthill to climb out of? They get their underdog story for next year? Like, any coaches or players?
No, I don't think this impacts the team. No one said anything about the team. You know, I think maybe, no, nothing with the team. Zero. 0.0. It's a personal thing for Robert. That
right,
he has
it's an
to
individual
overcome.
Transgression.
Yeah. No, nothing to do with the team. Nope, sorry, not another rallying point. I don't think. I don't know. Come on, guys. They're ragging on Robert because he went and got a massage. Let's go do it for him. Like, I don't know. Dan in Northborough. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. I couldn't disagree with you more in terms of just taking it and letting it go away. Because to me, taking it and acknowledging the wrongdoing acknowledges and admits to the public that it's not a little bit of oral sex that you got off on. It's oral sex from a beleaguered, imprisoned woman, and you prioritized your gratification alongside that. So if you claim that you didn't do anything illegal, you don't have to acknowledge the point that everyone understands is that alongside illegal prostitution exists this world of human trafficking.
Okay, but Dan,
disagree with you.
Well, no, but Dan, let's say that he's not, because the only way he's going to be convicted is on a technicality with the police work or somewhere, something like that. So if they deem the traffic stop on the Saturday to be illegal, how's that going to change what really happened in that massage parlor?
I think if you can claim, I don't know what they're going to claim. I'm very interested to hear of the legal defense to it. But if you claim, the caller a bit ago said something about, like, oh, maybe he was approached and that changes things or whatever. If you can claim, hey, I didn't know that this was illegal. I didn't know, you know, this woman approached me and asked me if I wanted to do this. There's a level.
Again, that woman approached him. Hold on. That woman approached me when he drove a half hour out of his way to go to this place 18 hours after going there the first time. Dan, are you serious?
No, to be clear, I'm not saying that should be the defense that they play. What I'm saying is I'll be curious the legal angle, because if you can claim that you did something stupid, had this took place at the Bunny Ranch or something like that, no one is going to bat two eyelashes at Robert Kraft paying $100 or whatever he paid.
But it's not. I don't get what your angle is there. I don't. Enough. 2 minutes. I don't get it.
So again, the whole idea of if he can claim, he can claim anything. He can claim anything. He can claim that he never asked for it. He can claim that someone recommended, and he can claim whatever he wants. The reality is the public embarrassment aspect of it is there no matter what. And I don't look at it as, you know, I have not at any point really looked at this and say Kraft is involved in the human trafficking part of it. I haven't. I think he, you know, made a bad judgment, a bad decision. That's what, like, you know, I look at it and say, what are you doing? But the idea, he can claim whatever he wants legally. The stain from it in terms of the perception and his image are there. Those aren't going away.
He can claim what he wants publicly. And if he gets off on a technicality because of the police work, then that, okay, saved himself community service.
It's not about what he claims. It's about what people will believe.
He's not going to be convicted anyway. What he did is what he did. Forget about what anyone believes. What happened, the fact of what he did, is that's over. So if it makes you feel better that he was found not guilty versus guilty, then great. I'm glad that makes you feel better. But it ain't going to change what he did. And there's really no disputing what he did. Oh, the pretzel twisting. This is going to be fun, talking to the Patriots Bobos. Here's another one I hear all the time as well. Terry in the car. Go ahead, Terry.
Hi. I just have a thought on this, and I am pro police, so it's nothing against the police. But my thought is that if they knew this was going on and they went in there and installed a camera, why, after they, if they sent, say, an undercover cop in there and this happened, they would shut the place down then. So if they knew these women were being trafficked, and they put a camera in there, why did they let it go on for so long, keep putting these women at risk?
Okay, well, I think you'd probably say that about a great number of undercover operations.
I was going to say, you're not the first one to ask that question, and Aaron Berg was asked it yesterday and wouldn't answer it.
Well, you said there's a balance there.
Well, he also said that's a better question for the police department than it is for the district attorney's office.
Yeah, right, the prosecutor just takes the case that he's been handed by the police.
Right. So, you know, like he sort of sidestepped that, and I mean, I can't tell you the answer to that. It's a legit question. Like, at what point did they deem they had enough evidence and why?
So, but in all those cases, all those undercover cases, at what point? You've got to let, in most cases, I would assume, that illegal activity to occur for there to be, a violation of the law that you get them.
So correct.
At what point, you know, do you deem someone to be in danger or being explored, whatever? Like, I'm sure that happens on all those undercover operations. But I think, I don't know if Terry's coming from that place, but that's another crying, you know, that's another rallying point for the Patriots Bobos.
It's a smokescreen.
Well, those police let those poor girls suffer in there just to get... Do you really care about that?
They don't.
So try again. Again, if Robert goes through with this and we have this for weeks and months, I'm ready for you. This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah, no.
You people twisting yourself into pretzels over trying to explain this one.
No, it's people changing the argument and trying to deflect the attention on it. I get it. The same way it would be as, I don't know, if you reported or if someone leaked it out there that there's someone more important on the list than Robert Kraft is trying to take away from his involvement in the story. So, like, no question about it. But again, the state attorney yesterday, Aaron Berg, he wouldn't answer that question. I mean, he wouldn't. He said,
"Well, he said there's a balance." So he did. He did kind of answer it.
Yeah,
but it's also not his responsibility. He's not the one that pulls the plug on. He's handed the case by the police.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question a lot of people have. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you they did anything wrong. I'm just telling you it's a question a lot of people have. Yeah, where's the point that you have enough evidence?
We've all watched cop shows. A preemptive strike on something like this would ruin the whole operation. You got to let us see it come to fruition. Maybe they're trying to go up the ladder and get a big fish like Kraft or something like that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.